change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello again, this is Mickey Desai with the Nonprofit Snapcast. This is our second episode of our ongoing conversation with Dr. Jeremy Dahl of the Deep Forest School. Just like last time, I hope you'll enjoy the unfocused nature of this particular conversation, and we are specifically inviting you back to our Facebook page. Find us at the Nonprofit Snapcast on Facebook so we can continue this conversation with all of you as we delve further into Dr. Dahl's nonprofit management practices with his Deep Forest Field School activities. Thank you for listening, and we will see you on our Facebook page. Thank you for joining the Nonprofit Snapcast here at Strongbox West. At the table, I've got
Caroline Eccles with Wellspring Nonprofit Resource.
And
Jeremy Dahl, Machete Man, Deep Forest Field School.
Machete Man. So please tell me somewhere in the world there's a big photograph of you brandishing a machete and looking just all epic.
It's in Atlanta Magazine. We got a Groundbreaker Award in 2016.
Very cool.
And a lot of people said that we got the award because the photographer nailed me standing with a 22-inch razor-sharp machete out in the woods.
Brilliant. That's just brilliant. That's hilarious.
It's either 2015 or 2016. I just thought it was hilarious that we should be a groundbreaker when we're actually cleaning trees.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the last episode, we talked quite a bit about your passion for the subject matter and your success in bringing it to growing audiences throughout Atlanta. What I'd like to focus on with this episode is the management of the overall affair, you know, not just financial oversight, but, you know, how do you figure out what programs you're going to offer and how do you get them staffed? How do you recruit volunteers? Things mm-hmm. like that.
So, right. And then where do they work? Like mm-hmm. Where does your program take place?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're a nonprofit, then, you know, you should work with other nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And the other nonprofit in this particular case is my martial arts dojo, Sung Ming Shu, and, on Moreland, just, south of I-20.
What's it called again?
Sung Ming Shu. It's one of the, Kung Nu, oriental martial arts, programs. It's become one of the biggest and popular in the States.
Oh, interesting.
I got involved, you know, lots of reasons for taking martial arts. Mine in terms of direct action was I was going down to Belize and I was going to be entering into an incredibly tropic environment and have to survey about 500 square kilometers of tropical forest. And I needed to be in shape.
Uh-huh.
And I needed to be in shape in a context in which, I could deal with the revolutionary Guatemalans coming over the border, in some sense of being able to get away.
Right.
And then people were engaged in illegal activity in the woods, and I wanted to be in a situation. If I was going to get fit, why not get fit in a way that would give me a chance to deal with somebody who shouldn't be there and objected to me being there? And so I joined the Sung Ming Shu Dojo, and I think after 20 years, I'm fairly fit now. I have a second degree black belt. Of course, my weapon of choice is the machete. Mickey asked earlier on, previous episode, I think, you know, well, you started this all by yourself. Well, you know, where did you go from there? Well, of course, my mates from the dojo.
Okay.
Okay.
So in terms of, you know, they're like-minded, they're interested in being able to serve the community. That's one of the philosophy of our style, is serve the community, by applying their martial arts. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, well, I've got this work at Fernbank. It was actually the early days. Let's have a community work day out in the woods. And, everybody, who is brown belt above, has got enough weapon skills to be able to use a machete. Everybody else, you got loppers, you can be digging up privet with a long-nosed shovel or a pick mattox. I have people who can destroy the biggest privet.
Huh. I'm jealous. I'm totally, completely jealous. I've used a chainsaw on privet and it keeps coming back.
It keeps coming back. You've got to get underneath it, dig it out. And so those, you know, and a lot of those guys went, this is fun. We want to do more. One of, I mean, they're all great friends, but one of them gave me this. I mean, he's such a mild, nice guy. I mean, he's a bit big, but mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he, after about an hour, he gave me this, you know, really amazing smile of a particular sort, not mentionable on the air, and yeah. And said, "I can strike through." Yeah.
So he doesn't have to pull the punch anymore.
So the issue was, well, of course, the martial arts training is ideal for you to go out and do hardcore machete man work, because that's what I was doing by going and doing field work. Mm-hmm. I'm surveying through thick forest. I could not have done it without my major mentor of how to really use a machete, whose name is Norberto Hao, from the Cayo district in Belize. So man, I got a whole bunch of bros. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to go out after 3 or 4 years of working on my own and adding in training sessions. They're known as apprentices. And it's in a martial arts context. So there's discipline. I know they're in shape. I know that when I say do this and hut, they're going to do it. They're not going to say, "Oh, but Jeremy, I don't feel like doing that today."
This sounds like a really unorthodox way to get a nonprofit environmental cause met.
Right.
The initial aim was for me to be in shape to be able to go deal with an extreme fieldwork situation. I mean, I'm chasing monkeys around in a forest 70, 80 kilometers away from the nearest anybody.
Mm-hmm. And were you by yourself?
You've got to once. For 8 days, my field guy couldn't make it. But that's a very, very bad thing mm-hmm. to do. You should always be with one other person, if not two or three.
I can't imagine.
That experience fueled the ability to do this work here in Atlanta safely.
So you've got all your volunteers from the dojo
in the first instance, and then of course with East Lake Commons, we'd turn up, and the volunteers from the community would turn up. I mean, you know, February 6th or something, it's sleeting down with freezing rain. I get 25 people turn up to control. They want these privateses out of their forest,
right?
And so we're in East Lake. Is that the East Lake that I know of?
It's like called East Lake Commons.
Is that where
it's a residential?
Is that where the golf course is and where it's cousins?
South of it.
Okay.
Immediately south of it. Yeah.
And so they.
And that's like 25 acres, but it's a very. I mean, it's an interesting example. I've always regarded this as a paradigm for how Machete Man Deep Forest Field School should operate, because it's a co-residency. All the residents take responsibility for their environment and run it and volunteer their time. Well, it's part of their deal being a resident that they're going to give so many hours. And a whole bunch of them are going, "Yeah, sure, I'll go out there and have a hack of that stuff." And all they have to do is come out 2 or 3 hours once a month. Well, you know, that's 120 hours. We can be doing the heavy duty, really hard, you know, nobody's ever going to get this English ivy off this tree except somebody really trained. And they can be going in underneath and, you know, "You got access to the privet now. Hey, dig it up." One of the early things that I found with volunteers, I mean, admittedly they were from my dojo, was that after a couple of hours, they'd go to me, "Wow, this tree is sort of like mine now." They're just bust buns and cut half a pound, if not more, of sweat to look after it. And they've formed a relationship with it. What better way to have your community invested in, you know, their trees?
Truly ownership.
A personal relationship with this tree. Right. You want to cut it down.
Right.
Particularly if the guys happen to be a 5-degree black belt. You know, what are you going to do? Argue with a dude? Anyway, I owe an awful lot to all my colleagues at Sun Ming Shu in the development of this. A majority of all the people who worked have had martial arts training, and I continue to maintain that.
So how much beyond the dojo have you extended that reach?
In terms of participation in Machete Man, of course, we developed educational resources and research. So that's another aspect that you manage to generate and build on as you get more people working and you get more cash flow.
You mentioned this fellow out west who wanted to do more of the teacher kind of experiences. Right. So that continues in conjunction with the current work you're doing, or is that a completely separate endeavor?
I wish. Mm-hmm. Structurally, I've found it very difficult to meet the, you know, sort of basic fundamental paradigm in schools, because Atlanta Public Schools is not very keen on letting their students out off the classroom.
Sure.
And then if you've got a little distance to go, you've got transport, and it's incredibly expensive because of the liability. And I'm sorry, I have been totally unable to get any sort of liability to cover my taking students into a state park to give them on-the-grounds experience. And so insurance is, you know, I mean, it's great, isn't it? Whoa, you know, my business is called Machete Man. We're safe. You know, you'll give us insurance, right? No, we won't. But I don't use chainsaws. Okay. We don't use ladders. Okay.
That was going to be my next question. How do you handle the liability? I mean, you are working with sharp weapons and implements of forest destruction. So
how did I persuade the General Liability Insurance Company to extend me?
Yeah.
Quite a few years of doing it successfully without anybody being injured.
Okay.
And, you know, you're not just handing somebody a machete who've never handled one before and say, yeah, go ahead, cut your leg off. It's all right. We don't mind. You know, anybody who hadn't got that brown belt, you know, they're doing loppers. And anyway, it's not the machete that's dangerous. It's the other guy with them. No, it's the copperheads, and it's the yellow jackets and the wasps and the bees and the ticks, which transfer the diseases, which I had to be incredibly careful about in Central America and in Africa. And why? We wear funny flight suits that throughout the summer are treated with permethrin, which is a tick repellent, and it also found to repel mosquitoes. Ooh. I'm sorry, we have not found anything that will repel the dreaded ant.
Have you spread any other dojos? Have you tried to get other dojos involved to grow your volunteer base?
The new Little Rock Dojo, there's quite a few of my apprentices are now teaching martial arts there, and I went out there and we spent a day cleaning up their woods. Wish I could do more. It's pretty full-time effort keeping going. I now have a crew. I'm fielding 7 people.
So when you go to deforest, or not deforest, but to get rid of the privet and all that, do you get paid for that?
Yeah.
So what do you charge to, you said $10 an hour? Is that still?
No longer.
I was going to say, come to my
house. That's when I was trying to figure out how to do it. You know, there's a big range of types of client, and there's a big range of types of forest.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one little person they're 70 and they're retired, and they're sitting on a piece of land of 2 acres with a beautiful piece of forest on it, with the trees that could be just doing so incredibly well, then $25 a machete man hour, something like that. You want me, and you want me to come and do a consultation? It's $500 a day. $65 an hour. What I normally do is put out a team. I average everything that's costing me to put them out there, and it can be $35 an hour, it can be $37.50 an hour. That sort of range, but that's for sort of institutional company type folks.
Well, which leads to one of my other things is, if folks wanted to contact you, how would they find you?
404-375-1881.
And your website is?
deepforestfieldschool@gmail.com.
Okay. So wait, that's your email. What about your website?
Yeah. It's the same deal.
So at deepforestschool.com?
Deepforestfieldschool, yeah.
.com. Okay. Very good.
HTML. Yeah.
Yeah. There was something else I thought you were going to ask at one point during this, and we moved.
Like where the forests are.
That's it. Thank you.
It's a great question, because it hits on something that, you know, it's one of those public awareness things. We are all living in a forest. Unfortunately, there's some great highways and great big buildings that are sitting in amongst the forest.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a little tree coming up in a little bare patch, it's part of the forest. It's part of the larger forest. So, you know, talking to the folks in the city of Decatur, well, you know, we can't manage the forest here. We can only manage woods. We've already got a forest. We're busy destroying it by cutting it all down and managing it incredibly badly and therefore ruining our air and ruining our hydrological infrastructure. So I think I lost my.
Just like, where are the forests? Like,
so worked up.
So when you,
so everywhere.
So if
private folks, parks.
Do you take it upon yourself to, like, say that you're not contacted by the property owner? Would you go out to a certain area to clean it up on your own?
No.
I mean, I don't know if you get in trouble for trespassing or.
There are bunches of issues.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in a rural area of England. Even in England, people had double-barreled shotguns.
Yeah, no doubt.
And a little finicky about who they want to have leaping around on their property, let alone some crazy guys in flight suits carrying razor-sharp machetes. So,
right.
So it's not a question of, oh, I'm sorry, madam. Excuse me a minute while I clean the trees up on your property when a big brother's lurking in the backyard. I mean, you know, it's not on. People have dogs too. And I'm very respectful to dogs. It's a question of there's somebody in the local community. Have a bunch of people on Conway, and one of the people there said, I want to do something about cleaning up my property.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, great, let's do it. Let's get all the neighbors together. I'll give you a group deal. Five of us will come in and do once a month. We cleaned it up. It just takes one person in the community, one of those steel magnolias I was telling you earlier on, who can get everybody's attention and knows a good deal.
That sounds amazing. So there are still a couple more questions I think we should tackle, but let's wrap this episode. Let's just wrap this episode and just to underline again, this is the nonprofit Snapcast done in cooperation with
Wellspring Nonprofit Resource
and the Nonprofit Snapshot. And we will, you can find us via our own websites. Yeah, we look forward to seeing you in about a week with our next episode, continuing our conversation with Dr. Dahl. To answer one key question is every tree sacred? And we'll tackle that next time. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.